Welcome to Security Sales and Integration Security Speaking Podcast. I'm Scott Goldfein, Editor-in-Chief of Security Sales and Integration. I thank you for listening each week as we discuss the trends, issues, opportunities, challenges, technologies, and more affecting today's electronic security industry professional. And I'd like to also remind everyone that we're now available on iTunes as well as securitysales.com. My guest today is Dr. Bob Banerjee, Senior Director of Training and Development for NICE Systems Security Division. He has more than a decade of high-tech and security industry experience that includes positions at Bosch Security Systems and Nortel Networks. Holding a PhD in Artificial Intelligence from the Advanced Research Center at the University of Bristol, England, Dr. Banerjee is a recognized expert in various security solutions, including Physical Security Information Management, or PSIM, and IP video. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Scott. Delighted to be here.
Great. Well, let's dig right in on the hot topic of PSIM. And Bob, if you could briefly explain what it is, what it does, what it can't do, and how it differs from a video management system or VMS.
Sure, I can do that. That's a great place to start, actually. Physical security information management is basically the same as the concept of the cockpit in a jumbo jet. The point being that this is the only means that a captain has to stay in touch with the real world around him. So people sit in front of a PSIM system in order to stay in touch with the real world. So if it is the desktop in a command and control center, the difference between doing it with the PSIM approach and the non-PSIM approach is that without PSIM, you'd need to have one computer for video, one computer for access, one for intrusion, one for radar, and so on. The point of PSIM simply being that you pull it together into a single integrated display, so these siloed systems are now presented together. There's one more aspect, though. If you now have these silos being presented together, you also have the ability for them to talk to each other, and so you can consolidate that information and make more useful interpretations of that information. So, for example, the data and the alarms from those different subsystems can be combined to make more sense, and you can call that correlation if you want. Every day, smart people use triangulation to get more reliable insight from information around them, and it's exactly the same concept here with PSIM, with digital information. If the fence detector shakes, but the perimeter video analytics, for example, doesn't report anything, then it's worth checking on the video before dispatching someone, since it may be just another one of those false alarms. So basically, the silos can talk to each other as well as be presented to each other.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain the role open platforms play with PSIM and why end users and systems integrators should care about that?
Sure. Given that PSIM is the desktop application in the command and control center, it's very much like having widgets on your desktop. I don't know if you've got a Mac or Windows, you have these little applications sitting on there, except now that they not only share space on the desktop, but they all interact. The point being that these widgets or security subsystems, whether it's video and intrusion and access or whatever, they all have to be very well documented and supported by the vendors. So their interfaces have to be, or interfaces or APIs, as they're often called, application programmer interfaces, need to be very well defined. Unfortunately, for some vendors who tend to be more closed box or proprietary, this openness would seem to be counterproductive for an individual manufacturer, but as far as I'm concerned, the market is now demanding the ability to have the best of breed, so to mix the best of breed. And so for a manufacturer to take this proprietary approach, is the fastest route to extinction is to stay proprietary and closed. If the other thing is, if a system is flexible, and obviously if it's flexible, it can be expanded, then there are two big benefits. First of all, the customer can change their mind about what they want to do without having to sell one of their kidneys. And the second point being that the integrator or consultant can advise upgrades and improvements to existing systems. And I simply can't see why you wouldn't want that ability.
So it enhances the user experience, and would you say it increases the integrator opportunities, and as far as that goes, the profitability potential as well?
Yes, well, let's look at the opposite. Sometimes it's easier to tackle a problem if you look at the opposite. Let's say it's not an open system. Let's say it's a closed proprietary box. I've sold it, I've installed it. It now doesn't do what it needs to do. Really, my only option is to rip and replace, and my customer's not really going to appreciate that, versus if I'd gone in with a more open and flexible approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this sort of new frontier of these advanced converged systems, if you will, what about the knowledge, education, training? What does an integrator need to know, in your opinion, to successfully sell, deploy, and service PSIM-based solutions?
This is a topic particularly close to my heart, given that I look after training and education. And I'll have to oversimplify my answer. Let's break it up into two parts. Roles and responsibilities in the pre-sales situation and roles and responsibilities in the post-sales or after the sales. So in pre-sales, and let's be really blunt about this, nobody likes to be told that they're a really good product salesperson, but that they're not able to be consultative in their approach. It's a bit like visiting the doctor. He doesn't stand there opening the door with a packet of the latest drug he's trying to push. He sits down, he asks you a lot of questions, he doesn't give any answers, he's just probing and fact-finding. Unfortunately, some, but no means all, but a lot actually, I have to be honest, a lot of salespeople and sales engineers, or solutions engineers as they're sometimes called, I've seen them coming into meetings, they start with a 45-minute or one-hour PowerPoint explaining everything that they can do for you and how their company is the best. How that particular product or products is on special offer, and then they finally ask you whether you have any need for it. It's not rocket science, but those people that keep their laptop firmly shut and do their homework, ask questions and listen, those people can very quickly gain credibility, and that's all that matters when you're purchasing high-value solutions-based stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, that's pre-sales. Post-sales, I would say that security systems used to be black boxes, and besides some embedded DVRs, which are still simple black boxes, most are pure software or available as pure software, and certainly PSIM, physical security information management, just like a lot of video management systems, is 100% software. All you get is a CD when you buy it, as well as, of course, all the professional services. Unsurprisingly, the integrator needs to be much more experienced in IT systems such as, let's be concrete about this, databases, servers, backup, high availability, and the clustering, Microsoft clustering, networking, and so on. And if they're not, then it's really going to show very quickly. The benefits for the customers are rapidly improving hardware platforms, because you're going with open systems, so the Dell, the IBM, you cannot compete with the rate that they're improving their systems. However, it does mean that it's more IT-centric, and we're having to learn different skills than we did before.
Let's talk specific markets and applications. Excuse me. When we're looking at PSIM solutions, what would be some examples of, very good targets to approach with that type of solution? And do you think that we might see this eventually trickle down to smaller business applications as well? I mean, how much can it be scaled down, and what are the really promising markets?
Thanks for that question, Scott. Will we see this in small applications? I think I'm going to give an awkward answer of no and yes. I would say we're not going to see it in small applications in the way that we know it at the moment. So it's life, but not as we know it. I envisage that PSIM will be completely re-architected and repackaged and then made available in small systems. So, for example, let's be realistic again. A lot of customers that I visit don't even know, no disrespect to them, it's not their, most of their jobs to know, a lot of customers don't even know how to protect and export a clip from their 16-channel DVR. This is just reality. It's not something you do until there's something horrible that happens. Most of these small systems, even up to 32, 64 camera systems, or basically, it's not just video, but basically a small system, these are locked up in a cupboard. No one's sitting there watching anything. It's all forensics-based after the fact. A lot of the value prop in PSIM is about real-time decision-making, which is why it's good for, pardon me, someone who's got an existing command and control center. If it's all locked away in a cupboard and no one's looking at it, then there's basically nothing to react to. What I can imagine one day is that you get some higher-end DVRs that are 16 or 32-channel systems. Maybe you can glue a couple of them together. And inside them, there will be integrated intrusion panels and maybe also fire panels. And that embedded appliance, which is much simpler, reduced functionality, maybe not the richest functionality thing in the universe, but it can be, it's very specific, it can meet the codes and be simple to use. So I imagine a hybrid DVR that does other things as well for the smaller market. You just cannot come in with something that takes 3 months to implement and expect a small kindergarten to have PSIM.
So it would seem to me that sort of the natural targets in terms of verticals would be large corporations and government. And can you identify a few of those?
Yes, Scott. You asked about the promising markets, and from my year and a half of doing explicitly PSIM, although I did it for a few years before, but explicitly PSIM, my experience shows the same five keep cropping up. There are others that crop up, there are other verticals that crop up, but there are five that come up every day. And I'll describe each of them. I'll go through five of them very quickly, but I'll have to oversimplify the drivers because, as always, every customer, like every airport, is always different. That's the nature of the things. One of the common things before I go into the five verticals is that the common factor between them very often, and there are a number of factors, but a common one is that a lot of it comes down to crippling budget pressure that's causing staff sizes to shrink. Often, unfortunately, this includes most of the mature members who have most of the tribal knowledge in the organization. And while you can't replace those people, you have to try everything you can to hang on to some of their knowledge. And a lot of what goes with PSIM, which is the workflow and the standard operating procedures, basically, what do you do if such and such happens? And you go through that whole workflow and you document it and you track it for all kinds of reasons, compliance as well as efficiency. So the vertical that comes up probably most often is the energy utilities. And that's because they're driven by NERC compliance. And that is a compliance that is a federal regulation, which has already seen multi-million dollar fines in Florida. And eventually, the government's going to be auditing energy utilities across the country. I know some are happening this year and a lot more next year. The point is that every time an energy utility is found out of compliance because, for example, they left there are so many rules, but basically there are things called critical infrastructure protection places, and they have to be protected. And if you're found out of compliance, that can be anywhere between $1,000 and $1 million per incident per day. So if you leave a door wide open for a week, then that's seven times whatever the number of thousands or millions of dollars it is. If you leave 10 doors open in 10 different locations, then that's 10 of those incidents in parallel. And you can imagine the concern that large energy utilities have in meeting that compliance. As well as making sure that they're not caught off guard, the other thing is that they spend enormous amounts of time generating huge compliance reports per incident and then reports that span over the year. And One of the challenges is for pulling together reports is it's hard to write a report about a video incident. It's even harder to write about an incident that involved some video, some intrusion, and some access control, because you have to go to those three different systems and manually pull the individual information. Who unlocked what door? Who ignored what sensor alarm? Who moved the camera? And so with PSIM, because you've already got this information all together, you can integrate that information into one report automatically. So ironically, a big driver of PSIM and is compliance reporting. The other one is public safety, which comes up a lot. And so with the typical PSAP or public safety answering point, they're typically dealing with anywhere between 10 and 20 different agencies and millions of calls a year, of course. But what are you meant to do if you are sitting in that control room and you want to view your CAD, your video, you want to monitor your calls, you want to drive your video wall, and maybe the video wall has five different video management systems from across your city all driving video up there. So one video management system cannot do that. It has to be something that sits above multiple video management systems, multiple intrusion, multiple access, and so on. You may want to merge into that tracking weather events. You may want to throw up there your Esri-based GIS system. I mean, to do that, you have to have the concept of a jumbo jet, and that's what PSIM's about. Another vertical is banking. Not a lot of people think of banking when they think of PSIM, but there's a couple of things that really hit home about it, and that is a lot of the banks, especially the larger ones, have an international presence. And the consequence of this is that they've had a lot of acquisitions over the years. And when you have a lot of acquisitions, you inherit a bunch of different physical security systems. So I may have inherited, acquired Bank 1 that had a Linnell system, Bank 2 that had a Secure system, another one that had AMAG, another one, whatever, different, all kinds of different physical security systems. When you do that acquisition, you have two choices. One is, I've bought you, now I'm going to invest $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, whatever it is, to go throughout all of your facilities, rip out your stuff and put in what we use, because it's what we use and we bought you and that's the way it's going to be. The other approach is if you have PSIM, PSIM doesn't care because it is the jumbo jet cockpit that sits on top of all of these. So a door is a door is a door as far as PSIM's concerned. It doesn't matter which vendor's security system that came from. And so it's really important to banks because of the enormous amount of consolidation that we've seen over the years. They have a terrible mismatch of systems. The last two are very similar, mass transit and airports. And they're both similar because they're complex environments with typically an existing command and control center, many links to other agencies, and consequently many arms and legs to keep in sync. It's a communication nightmare. The airport is slightly different because you've got the federal involvement, which touches on maintenance, operations, and regulations. So I would say those five areas, energy utilities, public safety, banking, mass transit, and airport, for me, come up over and over.
Well, it certainly sounds like a tremendous value proposition that can be offered to those markets, making it indeed appealing and an easy sell on the ROI side of the equation, I think. So that's exciting for integrators and exciting for users as well.
Actually, to that point, Scott, exactly as you said, you can't walk into one of these five verticals and say, I've got a PSIM solution, let me talk to you about it. That would be exactly the product-based approach. You do have to go in knowing what other airports, what other mass transit, what other banks, what they do, what their pain points are, and know how that you've solved it for other customers and bring that to bear through ROIs. You can't start with products and features.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's going. That's the way this industry's going. And I think, the integrators and consultants, they need to adapt to that new model. I think that's what we're seeing happening. So
that's where the money is.
Yeah. I'm excited by the technology, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Bob. And we're about out of time, but thank you so much. It's a complex topic, and I think we've sort of scratched the surface, but very, very fascinating.
Thank you very much, Scott.
I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and for comments or questions, please email me directly at scott.goldfein@securitysales.com. And for Bob Energy and Security Speaking, thanks for listening.